إن الحمد لله نحمده سبحانه ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله تعالى فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل فقد أمرنا الله تعالى بذلك في كتابه الكريم فقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال تعالى يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا ثم أما بعد When Ibrahim عليه السلام completed the structure of the Kaaba and he had built it with his son Ismail, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that such a long time ago commanded Ibrahim alayhi salam to call the people for Hajj, to call the people to do pilgrimage and to come to this house of Allah. Ibrahim alayhi salam said, وَمَا يَبْلُغُهُمْ صَوْتِي O Allah, how will my voice reach to all these people? And here look at the power when a person has sincerity in their call. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that it's not upon you that you make sure that that call reaches, it's upon you that you give the message and we will make sure that it reaches the people. And so Ibrahim alayhi salam climbed the mountain of Arafah and he entered the plains of Arafah and he called أيها الناس إن الله كتب عليكم الحج فحجوا O people, O mankind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Hajj compulsory upon you, the pilgrimage to this house compulsory upon you, so perform Hajj. And you'll see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in the Quran, قوله تعالى, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ And proclaim the Hajj amongst the people.
يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍ عَمِيقٍ
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling and recording what he said to Ibrahim, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ And proclaim the Hajj amongst the people, the pilgrimage, يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا They will come to you walking. And indeed, even till today, there are people that still try to hold up to this walking to Hajj, and you'll see people coming from China walking for months just to come walking. يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ And in every means of transportation, يَأْتُوكَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقٍ That they will come from every cranny and nook and every valley, they will come from every direction. Until this day, millions upon millions of people go for this Hajj and this pilgrimage, answering the call of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he became Muslim, or when he became Islam, Amr ibn al-As was one of the leaders of Quraysh. And he was one of the people that led, the battles and caused so many deaths of the Muslims. And so here he was becoming Muslim himself after all the Muslims that he had killed. And he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to put his hand forward to give the pledge of allegiance, the bay'ah. And as he put his hand forth and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam put his hand forth, Amr radiallahu anhu pulled his hand back and he pulled his hand back and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Malak. He said, what's wrong with you? Malaka ya Amr. What's wrong with you, Amr? And he said, Uridu an ashtarit. He said, I want to make a condition. Before I give bay'ah, before I become Muslim, I want to make a condition. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what's the condition of Amr? And Amr radiallahu anhu. And this is a very important lesson on how the mu'min is always seeking for this. Amr radiallahu anhu said, an yaghfir Allahu li. He said, I want to make the condition that Allah will forgive me. That Allah will forgive my sins. For all those Muslims that I've killed and all the hardship that I brought to Islam, that I want a promise that Allah is going to forgive me. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled at him and he said, Ya Amr, ama alimta anna al-Islam yahdimu ma qabla. He said, Oh Amr, don't you know that Islam wipes away all the sins that came before? وأن الهجرة تهدم ما قبلها. And that the hijra, the migration from Mecca to Medina, it wipes out all the sins that came before it. وأن الحج يهدم ما قبلها. And that Hajj and the pilgrimage to Mecca wipes away all the sins that came before it. Hajj is the fifth pillar that Islam was built on. And from young age, the children learn, بني الإسلام على خمس, that Islam is built upon five things. Wal Hajj is the fifth one that Islam is built upon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran,
ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا ومن كفر فإن الله غني عن العالمين.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ولله على الناس حج البيت. Hajj thereto is a duty mankind owes to Allah. من استطاع إليه سبيلا. For those who can afford the journey. And then notice here, the opposite of those people who don't want to go for Hajj, وَمَنْ كَفَرْ, and whoever denies faith. Allah called it kufr, the person who doesn't wish to go for Hajj. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. That verily, Allah stands in no need of any of His creatures. That if someone wants to do kufr and be ungrateful to Allah and not wish to go for that Hajj, that Allah not only doesn't need that person, Allah doesn't need anything in the creation. And the performance of Hajj wipes away all the sins that came before it. As Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ حَجَّ فَلَمْ يَرْفُثْ وَلَمْ يَفْسُقْ رَجْعَ مِنْ ذُنُوبِهِ كَيَوْمِ وَلَدَتْهُ أُمُّهُ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever performs Hajj, فَلَمْ يَرْفُثْ, who doesn't do any obscenity, وَلَمْ يَفْسُقْ, and doesn't do any transgression during his Hajj, رَجْعَ مِنْ ذُنُوبِهِ, he comes back free from sin, كَيَوْمِ وَلَدَتْهُ أُمُّهُ, like the day his mother gave birth to him. And Hajj is one of the greatest deeds that the person can accomplish in his lifetime. As Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that he was present when someone asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَيُّ الْأَعْمَالِ أَفْضَلْ, which action is the best? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and noticed here, he said, الْإِيمَانُ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, that iman, belief in Allah and His Messenger. And notice here, he was asked, what action is the best? So what deed to do is the best? And he said, الْإِيمَانُ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, iman, belief in Allah and His Messenger. And people, when we see the English word belief, we think it's something of the heart, just something that a person puts in their mind. But indeed, that's not what the companions understood. Because action, when a person truly believes in Allah and His Messenger, then they act upon that. And that was the first action, the greatest action that a person can have, is iman billahi wa rasuli. And then the person asked, then what, O Messenger of Allah? And he said, al-jihad fi sabilillah, jihad in the sake of Allah. And then what the companion asked, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Hajjum mabrur, that the greatest action a person can do, on the third question, was Hajjum mabrur, an accepted or a Hajj that is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Sha'atha rahimahullahu ta'ala, one of the great scholars, said that I contemplated the good deeds that a person does, and I found that salah is something that a person does with their body, and jihad, that fasting as well as salah and as well as jihad is something that a person does with their body, and that sadaqah and zakah is something that a person does with their wealth. But he said the thing that I saw that joins between the actions of the body and a person's wealth is Hajj. For verily, when a person goes for Hajj, he's spending his money and he's exerting his body for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Aisha radiallahu anha asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we learn here, when we're talking about jihad, that Hajj is the greatest jihad that a person can do. For Aisha radiallahu anha asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she said, نَرَى الْجِهَادُ أَفْضَلُ الْأَعْمَالِ أَفَلَى الْجَاهِلِ. She said, we see and we found and we've understood that jihad is the best deed that a person can do, so shouldn't we, the women, go and perform jihad and go out and fight in the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَلَكِنَّ, he said, rather that rather the best jihad is Hajj Mabrur. وَلَكِنَّ أَفْضَلُ الْجِهَادِ حَجُّ مَبْرُورِ, that the greatest jihad to do is an accepted Hajj. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said after that, that I'll never cease performing Hajj after I heard that from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the dua of the person who goes for Hajj sincerely shall be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الْغَازِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالْحَاجِ وَالْمُعْتَمِرِ, he said, the person, the warrior who goes out, the soldier who goes out to fight for the sake of Allah, and the person that goes for Hajj, and the person who goes for Umrah, wafdullah, that all of these people are the delegation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Da'ahum, he called them, fa'ajabu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called them, and so these are the ones that answered the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَسَأَلُوهُ, and they asked him, and they made dua to him, فَأَجَابَهُمْ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَأَعْطَاهُمْ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them that. I remember once that some students in Medina, they had friends that had come from Bulgaria, and they were the delegation of the king of Saudi Arabia, and they had come, and they were in a nice hotel, and there they had lavish buffets there. And as the brother told me, he said, in our country, we never have food like this. Never. And he said, I saw like uncles and cousins taking from this, taking from that, and wasting it. And I told this to someone. And then he said, subhanAllah, he said, this is the delegation of a human king. This is the delegation of a human king. فَمَا بَارُكْ, then what do you think of the delegation that comes for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And in the Islamic history books, it's narrated that on the day of Arafah, a man from Turkmenistan came on the day of Arafah, and he saw as the sun was setting and people were there making dua at Jabal al-Rahma, the mountain of mercy there on Arafah, in the plains of Arafah. He looked left and he looked right, and there wasn't a single person there that wasn't crying for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And everybody was making dua to Allah. And he, in his heart, he didn't understand Arabic, and he didn't understand what they were saying, but he saw all the crying that was going on, and he knew that he couldn't express his dua, and he couldn't pray like everyone else was praying. So he raised his hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, crying. He said, oh Allah, I can't make dua like all these people are making dua. Oh Allah, give me every single thing that they're asking for. And it was narrated, and someone had seen that inshaAllah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his Hajj. Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sorry, the greatest day that ever comes in the entire year is the day of Arafah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ مَا مِنْ يَوْمٍ, there's not a single day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't free more slaves from hellfire than the day of Arafah. And there's no day that the sun comes up upon greater in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the day of Arafah. And the day is coming very soon. And verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws near on that day. And he boasts, subhanahu wa ta'ala, yubahi, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the angels, and he says to them, انظروا إلى عبادي, look at my slaves, look at my servants. جاءوني شعثا غبرا, they have come to me disheveled and dusty. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the angels, ما أراد هؤلاء, what do these people want? And you'll notice that in Hajj, there's nothing else there for Hajj. A person can't say that I'm going to Hajj to go swimming, or they can't say that I'm going to Hajj to do to go to a special event or some sort of theater. There's nothing in Mecca except the Kaaba. Just a hotel, surrounded with hotels, and the Kaaba. And if you go to Arafah, you will see nothing there except dust and tents and hills. There's nothing there. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to them, why have these people come? And the angel said, they have come for no other reason except to establish your oneness, O Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to them, let them go, for I have forgiven them all. Abdullah ibn Mubarak radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates that I went to Sufyan ibn Uyayna as the day of Arafah was setting. And he sat on his knees and his hand raised to the heavens, and tears were moistening his cheeks and beard. He turned and looked at me, and he said, He turned and looked at him, so he said, Abdullah ibn Mubarak said to him, "Who is the person who is in the worst state on this day of Arafah, with everybody making dua?" And Sufyan, rahimahullah ta'ala, said, "The person who thinks that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't forgive him today." أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. If you could move up, inshallah. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, when she would sleep with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he would stand up for Qiyam al-Layl, she would notice that the feet of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would begin to swell from the excessive standing of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so when he would complete his salah and she would look at him, she would say, "Why are you doing this when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven all your sins in the past and any sins that you may commit in the future?" And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and we all know this, he said, "Afala akunu abdan shakura." He said, "Shouldn't I be a thankful slave to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If all my sins have been forgiven, then shouldn't I be a thankful slave?" With this example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we understand what our attitude should be when we go for Hajj, or whenever we hear about our actions being accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or forgiveness, or Jannah. Does it mean that when someone performs Hajj that they fall back into disobedience? Or does it mean that if they go to the Kaaba and their salah is worth 100,000 salah, that they never pray for the next 100,000 salahs? That's not what it means. You'll find in many hadith the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, "Hajjum mabrur," saying the term Hajj, not saying Hajj, but saying Hajjum mabrur, an accepted Hajj. And the scholars talked about what Hajjum Mabrur means, and that some of them said that Hajjum Mabrur means a Hajj that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted. And only Allah knows if the Hajj was accepted or not. And they say a sign of this is that a person comes for Hajj and then returns after Hajj in a state other than the state that he came in. Meaning that if he was disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he wasn't performing his salah properly before Hajj, then after Hajj he begins doing his salah. If before Hajj she wasn't wearing hijab, after Hajj she wears hijab. And so on. A person is taking interest before Hajj, and after Hajj they desist from such actions. Hajjum mabrur. I once saw a group of pilgrims during the Hajj season, and they had these t-shirts and hats. And maybe, I think you see the ravens, everybody has the raven flags going on their cars now. These people had flags like that that said, "Hajj Mabrur 1997. Hajj Mabrur 1997. And I said, "Subhanallah." You know, and they're selling the shirts, "Hajj Mabrur." If they wrote Hajj 1997, that would have been different. But to write Hajj Mabrur is a little tough. For Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, when he was on his deathbed and his son came to him reminding him of all the good things that had happened with him and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all the great deeds he had done, he had told him uskut. He told him be quiet. And he said, "Atadri mimman yataqabbalu Allahu minhum." He said, "Do you know who it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts from?" And then he recited the verse, "Innama yataqabbalu Allahu minal muttaqin." That verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts from those people who feared Allah and were sincere in the actions that they did. And it's with this spirit that Ali ibn al-Husayn, rahimahullah ta'ala, when he would go for Hajj and he would put on his ihram, his towels, and he would cover himself and he would prepare and he would begin his journey, he stopped. He lost color in his face and he couldn't pronounce anything. And people told him, "What's wrong?" And he said, "I fear that if I begin my talbiyah, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, that it will be said back to me, la labbaik wa la sa'daik. That it will be, that I'll say, 'Oh Allah, I am here,' that I'm afraid that it will be said back to me, 'May you never have come and may no happiness come to you.'" And this was the greatest people that walked on this earth, rahimahum Allah ta'ala. And it's with this spirit that we move forward in Hajj, inshaAllah, for those people who are going this year and for those people who are intending to go in the future. I remember once, the first Hajj that I performed in 1993, I was with some brothers that were very keen on the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And indeed, the slave has fear and hope. They have fear and hope. At-targhib wa at-tarhib. They have hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fear from the punishment of Allah. You'll see in some religions that they may have exaggerated the mercy of Allah so much so that they commit zina. They associate partners with Allah. In the end, saying that Allah is the loving and that He's going to forgive no matter what, even if murder happens or whatever happens. And on the other side, people have said that Allah is going to punish everything and everyone, and so they've gone into celibacy, and they've gone into things, and they've disassociated themselves with the entire world. But indeed, the believer is in the middle path between hope and fear. So I was with some people in this Hajj who were very much keen on the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they kept reminding me and reminding me of the fear during the Hajj, so much so that I almost felt in my heart that there's no way that this Hajj is ever going to be accepted. That there's no way. And they would keep commenting on people here and there. And as I went through this Hajj, and it was my first time, and going through the hardships, I remember, you may have heard the story of the Jamarat and people like a stampede or a crush that happened in 1993. Actually, it recurred in a couple of years after that also. But I said when I was younger that I had heard of people being crushed in a tunnel, so I said that if I'm ever in that situation during this Hajj, I'm going to step away from the crowd, maybe try to find some higher place, maybe a bus or something, and get out of the crowd. So we went to the Jamarat that day. The Jamarat is where the stoning of the pebble or the pebbles are thrown. And we sat down, and about half an hour before dhuhr time came, all of a sudden there was like a domino effect. And maybe the people walking were four or five lines ahead of us. All of a sudden everybody stood up and just fell over. And our umbrella was broken and we fell to the ground and so on. And then I stood up and realized, when you look back, the road leading to the Jamarat, there's no way you can go opposite the direction. And at that moment, I saw people climbing the buses. I saw people climbing the walls, and I said, this is one of those emergency situations. And the brother that was with me, he said, what should we do? Because you can't go backwards. I said, let's go through our Jamarat. And at that time, at dhuhr time, we walked into the Jamarat. And subhanAllah, as you walk in, and you see some people falling, don't think. And you may hear that people get trampled, but that's not true. So a Turkish brother I had seen had fallen, his wife had fallen to the ground. And immediately, nobody knows who the person is beside them, but myself and some other brothers, everybody grabbed hands and made a circle around them immediately. Just instinct, immediately, and allowed that man to stand up with his wife in that crowd. And I lost my friend immediately in that crowd. But just to tell you, the kind of the ambulance sirens going on, the helicopters flying over. And as I walked out of that Jamarat area, when the Prophet ﷺ speaks of the Day of Judgment, and Aisha radiallahu anha, the Prophet ﷺ said that everybody will be naked. And Aisha radiallahu anha said, well, won't the people look at each other? And he said, Ya Aisha, al-amru ashad min dhalik. He said, oh Aisha, the affair is much more severe than that, that people would look at each other. When I had come out of that Jamarat area and I sat down, I remembered these words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Later, because I had sat down and there was a woman sitting behind me, and I had sat back, leaning my back, and the woman was leaning her back on my back. Just to show you the state of affairs, and we sat like that for maybe 5 minutes before I realized that this was a woman sitting behind me and that we were mutually leaning our backs on each other. And nobody was even paying attention to what was going on, to that state. And then I sat there after the Jamarat, watching people finishing up the Jamarat, and I saw three people standing, and then all of a sudden two of them burst up looking for the friend, and I just saw happiness on their face. They're shouting Ahmed, Ahmed for their friend to come, and the third friend just started crying. And it was with that, as I limped out, and my feet, I was actually like in a wheelchair. I had gotten blisters, and I was walking back to the Kaaba all the way from there. It's about an hour walk, or maybe longer than that. And as I limped out, walking back, and my slippers lost. I got some new slippers. I came upon this villa, a place where it has like a patio, a carpeted patio. It's a villa, and there's like shaded trees there. And I saw people gathering there, so I went there. And when I sat on the road, on the concrete, and slowly, I saw people sitting up on the patio, but the owner was there, and I started coming closer onto the patio. And I sat there watching the owner of that villa, and every time he was just standing there, every time he would see someone come by who was in need of water, he would run out there and give them the coldest water that he had. And I saw that he had an entire freezer of water that he was giving out to people who needed water. People would come and ask him for you know, something, and he would go get a water and get some juice packets with it. And in the state of thirst that I was in, and believe me, you've never been thirsty until you go through something like this. You've never felt what it means to be thirsty. And when I saw those people making dua for him after he gave them the water, that I knew how sincere those dua's were. And so a woman was sick, and he brought her in and gave her a bed to sleep and so on. At that moment, I had spent so much time until finally I was just too thirsty, and so I told him that, and he was talking to me. I asked him, could I have a glass of water also? And then he realized that he hadn't given me any water. He ran in, brought me like two bottles of water and some juice packets and put in front of me. And actually, I went in and used his house. And then as I walked back to the Kaaba, all those lessons, I realized. And when I met my friend after that, and I told him the realization that I had, I said, look at all these people that came today for Arafah and for Hajj. And how many people died? Actually, it said maybe 600 people died that day in that event. I said, all these people came, and look how merciful this human being was to them. I said, فَمَا بَالُكَ. I said, what do you think then of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That all these people came for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for no other reason. And indeed, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَالْحَجُّ الْمَبْرُورُ لَيْسَ لَهُ جَزَاءٌ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Hajj Mabrur has no reward in the Jannah, except paradise. إِنَّ اللَّهُ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم اغفر لحينا وميتنا وشاهدنا وغائبنا وصغيرنا وكبيرنا وذكرنا وأنثانا. اللهم من أحييته منا فأحيه على الإسلام ومن توفيته منا فتوفه على الإيمان. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون.